We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Here's to you. You were pink or blue and everything I wanted. Here's to you, never sleeping through from midnight till the morning. Had to crawl before you walked, before you ran, before I knew it. You were trying to free your fingers from my hand, 'cause you could do it on your own.
All right, so listen, after that video, I'm just going to say happy Mother's Day. Amen. God bless you, and thank you for being with us this morning. I think we would all agree, wouldn't we, friends, that sometimes you really wish life would just slow down, right? The weeks, the days, the years, it just seems like sometimes they pass so quickly. And I'm so thankful for the Word of God, aren't you? Moses speaks to us about time. He says in Psalm 90, "The days of our years are 70 and 10, and if by reason of strength their 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. I'd like all of you to read this next line with me. Are you ready? Say amen. Amen. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. One of the words used in the Bible to describe time is the familiar word season. And I think we all know that life has many seasons to it. Much like the ever-changing seasons that we see in God's beautiful creation go through, our life often is mirroring multiple seasons of change. And many of you are here this morning and you are in a season of change. For some of you, it's a good season. For some of you, it's a struggle. And there is a chapter in the Bible dedicated by a man who had a lot of experience in life. He went through a lot of seasons. And God used him to pen a very well-known text. The book is called Ecclesiastes. How many of you know that book, yeah? And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, these words are penned, and it says this: to everything there is a what?
Season.
Everybody say season.
Season.
There's a season. And a time to every purpose under the heaven. If you were to continue to read on in that chapter, you would find that the writer goes on to explain all of the different seasons that we have and all of the different challenges that we have, and a time to be born and a time to die and a time of war and a time of peace and a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. And he just walks us through all of the very different seasons that we go through. And most of us understand that. But when he gets to verse 11, he says something that has always intrigued me and has blessed me and encouraged me. He says these words in verse 11. He said, "He hath made everything beautiful in his time." He has made everything, say it, in his time. Everything beautiful. I think that the Apostle Paul echoes somewhat of what Solomon is saying when he reminds the church at Philippi. He says these words in his letter to this church, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, recently I was going through a difficult season and I was up very early one morning reading my Bible, and God brought this verse to me out of a devotion that I was doing, and I was reminded of some things that are very important, and that is this, that oftentimes we think God has promised us things that He has never promised us. God has never promised that we are going to have perfect children. You can say amen, it's okay. I know some of your kids are here and you're like, or perfect parents, amen? I know your grandchildren are perfect, we're not going to go there, okay? God hasn't promised that we're going to have perfect marriages. So glad none of you shouted amen on that, and you're going to enjoy the rest of your day today. God hasn't promised us a lot of things that we think He has. But I am reminded in this text that we have a God who has promised us that no matter what, He is going to keep working in our life. Amen? So turn to your neighbor and say, beautiful. Go ahead. Turn to your other neighbor and say, needs work. No, don't. Don't do that. I know some of you really want to say that right now, right? As believers, the great joy of our life is to cling to the fact that we have a loving, kind, perfect Heavenly Father who never leaves us. His love never runs out. And He's always there, even in the difficult seasons of life. And because of the work of God, we are being made beautiful. And even through the hardships, it's for our good and God's glory. Now, the reality is that all of us are going to go through seasons of change. Is that true? Yes or no? And I don't want to isolate anyone in here, but let me just be frank for a minute. Can I be frank with you guys for just 1 second? I think women know a little more about going through seasons of change than men do. Ladies, would you say amen to that? All right. Now, here's the thing. I had a dear saint not too long ago. She caught me by the arm as I was leaving, and she said, "Pastor, can I speak to you a minute?" I said, "Yeah," and she got real close to me and she said, "Are you going through the change of life?" I said, "What? Why would you ask me that question?" She said, "Because this building's like a meat locker in here and I'm freezing." And then she put her hand on me. She said, "It's okay, honey. Those hot flashes will soon pass." And I didn't know. That's what she said. So sometimes I think a lot of ladies and women in general are just really left wondering if anyone really even knows how they feel. Read an article recently by a Christian woman called, "Does Jesus Know How a Woman Feels?" And that thought had been in my mind for some time. And then while I was in Africa, I was sitting in this church on a Sunday, and I was worshiping with a bunch of African saints. And let me tell you, they worship very differently than we do. They are very much in tune with a lot of things that us stiff white people have no idea about. And they were singing and praising the Lord, and it was just one of the most enriching times of my life. And when the worship had ended, the pastor got up to the pulpit and began to talk about a lady and her husband in their church. And she invited this woman to come up onto the platform, this woman that he had been talking about. And she was there, her husband was there, just a big, strong, ruggedly handsome Rwandan man. And she was there, very beautiful African woman, and their family, and just a stunning picture of God's grace in this family. And her testimony was that she had been rescued as a child through Compassion International, and she was there to give her testimony. And she was there to share how from infancy God had been watching over her life. And now she is on staff full time for Compassion International, and she works there. And just an incredible story. And her testimony was, I don't know, maybe you guys have had this happen. Have you ever been in a service and you're sitting there and it's like nobody else is in the entire room but you, and the person is talking just to you? Can I get a witness? Amen. Some of you are like, "Yeah, every week. Thanks a lot." Okay, I understand. And I really just thought, man, this woman's speaking to me. Like, she is just talking just to me. And she spoke about her relationship with Jesus. And she very openly shared her struggles as a woman and as a mother and as a wife. And the following afternoon, we went to the Compassion headquarters there in Rwanda. And while we were walking through, I noticed this lady that looked very familiar moving some books around. And I said to the pastors that were with me, I said, "I think that's the lady who spoke yesterday." And they said, "No, no, no." And I said, "Well, I'm going to go over there." And so I walked up to her and I tapped her on the shoulder and she spun around. And sure enough, and I said, "Listen, I want to thank you yesterday for the words that you spoke." I said, "Your words brought me to tears and changed me in a way that I can't really explain." And we both just began to weep together. She just reached out and gave me this big hug. And I said, "I want you to know that your testimony has helped me form my thoughts for Mother's Day." And she very cutely said, "Tell your congregation they're welcome." And in her testimony, she talked very openly and very candidly with scary transparency about labor and giving birth, a subject best left for women to speak on. And she talked about how she was there in the birthing room, and she said, "I was laying there screaming in agony, crying out to God." Ladies, if you can identify, just say amen. Amen. And she said, "And then I started to think, God, you left me here." Because she said, and she's saying this now to a packed congregation, and there was 15 white guys, and you know who they were, right? And she's sharing this message, and she's saying, "I was laying in this bed, crying out to God, begging God to help me." And she said, "And you know what happened?" And I was waiting, and she goes, "Nothing." Nothing, she said. She said, "And then suddenly, I began to think about Jesus and Him hanging on the cross. And the agony and the torture and the pain and the sacrifice that He was going through." And she said, "It was through His agony and pain that new life came forth." And she said, "And so here I was in agony about to give forth life. And I realized," and these are her words, "that at that moment, for the first time in my life, Jesus knows exactly how I feel. He knows what I am going through." And she said that as she laid there in pain, crying, she said, "For the first time in my life, I felt the nearness of God as never before." And then she read Hebrews chapter 4. And she said, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet what? Without sin. As she finished sharing her story, she said these words, now on the days that I feel no one really understands me, including my husband, she said, I know that Jesus knows. And I cling to Him. Ladies, I want to encourage you today to embrace the words of the Scripture and to anchor yourself in the truths of God's words, that as you go through the seasons of womanhood, and there will be many of them, that there is a Savior who knows you, who understands you, and who loves you. And I simply want to give us three little reminders today. And here's the first one. Number one, as the seasons of your life change, cling to the changeless one. Amen, ladies? As the seasons of your life change, cling to the changeless one. You know, change is inevitable, isn't it? But it does not need to be fatal. Changes in life are always best seen through the lens of Scripture. And if God is always working all things to our good, then we have to know that we can trust and rest in His promises. The hard truth is that we don't like change. Can you say amen to that? We don't like change, just like the video. You know, we want things to slow down. We want things to just take it easy. I don't want this to change. It's all coming so fast. It's all coming so quickly. In fact, many times we don't even like the changes that God's bringing into our life for our own good and for His glory. You know, the Bible says something about the Lord. It says, I am the Lord, I change. Does anybody know? Not. I am the Lord, I change what? Not. Now, the reason God doesn't change is because He is perfect. If that's true, say amen. Now, we know this, don't we? Do we know that the Lord's perfect? So what does the flip side of that mean? The flip side of that means that if God's perfect and He doesn't change, then what do we need to be doing? Everybody say change. Go ahead. I know it's a hard word to get out. Everybody say change.
Change.
We have to change. I have discovered that the reason we often resist change so much is because of the reality that change is a constant and continual reminder that we are not in control. We're not. And I know we don't want to admit that, and I know we want to be the one to call the shots and make the decisions, and we want to be in charge, and we want to be, you know. But the reality is this. Control is an illusion. Control is an illusion. When my boys were little, they used to call my wife the first boss. They called her the first boss. And I was the big boss. We were training them well in the ways of the mafia. And sometimes they would go to Angela and they would say, Mom, can I do this or that? She'd say, I don't know. You're going to have to ask the big boss. Oh, the first boss can't give me an answer? No. You have to ask the big boss. Okay. So then they'd come ask me, Dad, the first boss said I have to ask the big boss. And this went on for a little while, and it was great. Then one day, one of my boys came in to me, and he crawled up on my lap, and he looked at me, and he said, Dad, are you the boss of Mom? Oh, yeah. I was like, where's your mama right now? That's a dangerous question. Say amen, guys. And I said, well, listen, Daddy is responsible, and Daddy is to make decisions, and so I am, you know, in charge of some things. And he said, Dad, do you have a boss? Don't you hate when your kids start to quiz you like this? I said, yes, I have a boss. He said, who? Who's your boss? I said, well, son, his name is God. You work for God? You mean God? I said, yeah, God's my boss. Oh, I said, we call him the ultimate boss. Oh. Then he kind of paused for a minute and he looked at me and he said, "So, Dad, does that mean that God's in charge?" I said, "Right." He goes, "So you're really not in charge then, are you, Dad?" Stinking kids, right? The truth of the matter is this, friends. God only ever gives us limited and measurable control. God is the one who never changes. And we are the ones who have to continually change. And so in all the seasons of life, remember something. Living a life of stress and worry and anxiety and fretting over things you really have no control over makes you and those around you very frustrated, friends. The Bible clearly says we are to cast how much of our care on Jesus? Say it. All our cares upon Him and cling to the changeless one in an ever-changing time. Number two, when your heart hurts, run to the healer. As the seasons of your life change, you should cling to the changeless one, ladies, but when your heart hurts, you run to the healer. How many of you know this to be so true? Life doesn't always go as planned. Please say amen to that. Don't be perfect Christian. Oh no, my life's glorious. How many of you know life doesn't go as planned? Amen? You work some things, you strategize, you pray, you do your best, and then you're like, man, what's happening? Why? What is... This wasn't my plan, God. Sometimes you look at your marriage and you think, what happened here? You look at your kids and you're like, why are they so like their father, right? What happened? There are going to be seasons of heartbreak and heartache. You can't avoid them. This Wednesday afternoon, I'm speaking to the students and faculty at Word of Life, and I'm bringing a message to them called How to Heal a Broken Heart. Because you see, people don't tell you things when you're young. They don't tell you what's going to happen down the road. They tell you all this stuff, but they don't really let you know you're going to have some heartbreak. And some of us are sitting in here, and our life has been a season of heartbreak. Our life has been a season of heartache. And when this is happening, and happen it will, you have to turn to the only one who can heal your hurt. I've been doing a personal study on the names of God just in my own time with the Lord. And I came across this name for God that was just awesome. How many of you know God's name is awesome all on its own? Okay, but there's all these names of God, and it's just been really amazing. And one of the names is Jehovah Rapha. And I don't know if you know that name, but what that name means is God my healer. Everybody say God my healer. Ready? God my healer. One more time. God my healer. And I was reading this, and I was just listening to the words, and I was looking up the verses where this is used. And it's interesting, the word Rapha is used some 60 times in the Old Testament, and it means to restore, to heal, to cure, physically and emotionally and spiritually. And isn't it true, friends, that sometimes we need cured in all three of those areas? And David knew this. David said in Psalm chapter 6, "Have mercy on me, O God, O Lord, for I am weak, O Lord. Heal me, for my bones are vexed. My soul is also sore vexed. But Thou, O Lord, how long?" There's clearly three things that David is wanting Jehovah Rapha to do for him. You see it in his emotional side. He says, "Lord, I'm weak, I'm faint." Ladies, you don't need to make any apologies for being an emotional creature. That's how God made you. Can you say amen to that? How many of you were weeping during the video, right? I saw some of you men crying too. I'm not crying, right? David was emotionally exhausted. Some of you ladies in here, you're emotionally spent. You're just exhausted. You have nothing in the tank. And you're weary and tired, and it's wearisome. Go to the one who knows you. And then David said, "Lord, my bones, I'm in agony." Being a wife and a mother and a caregiver and all of the titles that go with women and mothers in general, It's physically exhausting, isn't it, ladies? It takes a toll on your body, and quite frankly, a toll that most men have no idea about. But David knew, and he knew that God knew, and so he called out to Jehovah Rapha, and he said, "Please, Lord, heal my bones. I'm sore, I'm tired, I'm weary." And then he said, "My soul is in anguish. I'm weary in my soul, in my spirit. How long, O Lord, how long?" He was spiritually saying, "God, I need a fresh touch from you." One of the ladies in our church this morning, Katie Schaefer, her mama went to be with the Lord yesterday. Pastor Chad and Pastor Micah and myself Friday afternoon were in hospice with her, praying with her and talking with her. And we went around the room and we prayed over her. And when Pastor Chad got done and he said, "In Jesus' name, amen," we looked over at her and she opened her eyes and she looked at me. And here's what she said. She said, "The next time I say amen, I'm going to be home." And when service was over, I went up to Katie and I was talking to her. And she said, "I want you to know something, Pastor." She said, "I didn't want to be here today." She said, "But I needed to know that God is my healer. And I'm hurting. And this is exactly where I needed to be this morning." You know what Jesus said? He stood up in the temple and he read in Luke chapter 4, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to do what?" Say it, friends. "Heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and to recover the sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." All of this text that Jesus is talking about, God is saying, "I sent my son for this reason. To those who are bruised and hurting and broken and struggling, I came for you." And many women and mothers will struggle quietly and live with the pain of hurting hearts. Ladies, can I tell you something? God knows this, and he will come to you and he will comfort you. You say, "How do you know that?" There's lots of reasons, but one of the reasons is found in Genesis 16. And in Genesis 16, a very perplexed and peculiar story unfolds for us. It's the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar. In a time that most of us can't really wrap our heads around, when things were transpiring and happening, it's a difficult passage to unwrap. But if you read it carefully, you'll see a beautiful picture of God. And you know the story, many of you, that Abraham was married to Sarah and God promised that he was going to make a great nation through them, and they're waiting for children and waiting for children and waiting for children and waiting for children. And tell me, what happens? No kids. Now, do kids eventually come? Yeah. And you remember the angel tells Abraham, "Hey, Sarah's pregnant," and she's outside the tent. And she's like, "Pah!" Angel's like, "Laugh now, sister." But prior to that event, Sarah got impatient and so did Abraham. And by the way, it's a dangerous thing to get impatient with the Lord. And Sarah said, "Look, I'm going to give you Hagar. She'll have a child. We'll get the show on the road. We're going to help God out." You might want to make a little note. God doesn't need any helping out. Hagar gets pregnant. And of course, in the text, you can read this for yourself. Resentment rises. Bitterness, anger, hostility. And finally, Sarah's like, "Look, I don't want her around anymore." Now, I'm paraphrasing, but this is what happened. Hagar's feeling, "What did I do wrong?" And finally, Abraham says, "Well, she's your servant. I mean, you can do what you want with her." And so Sarah basically says, "Get out." And as you read Genesis 16, you find Hagar on the backside of nowhere, alone, uncared for, and unloved. Until the Bible says, the angel of the Lord comes to her. And he speaks to her. And he lets her know that she needs to go back, and that he's going to take care of her. And in a beautiful, beautiful setting, Hagar says these words, in essence, "You are the God who sees. I thought everyone had forgotten about me. I thought everyone had left me. I thought the people that loved me could care less about me. But you are the God who sees." You know, I was reminded of a God who sees this week. On Tuesday night, I was visiting a family that had attended our church, and I didn't have enough time to get to the other side of town where I wanted to go, and so I realized I was in the neighborhood of one of our very senior saints who is a shut-in. Her husband has long passed away. She's very elderly, up in age. And I said to Dan Beaudry, who was with me, I said, Dan, there's a sweet lady. We need to go see her. He said, okay. And so I got a hold of Robin. She got me the information and punched it in the GPS. Aren't you glad for GPS? Amen. And come to find out, we were a stone's throw from her house, but we're driving around the block praying in Jesus' name. Nothing's happening. And I'm like, okay, we got to find the address. We get to the house, knock on the door. We're about to leave, and finally the door opens. I didn't think anybody was home. There was a lock on the door. I thought, wow, she must have moved. And there's this woman standing there, and I didn't know her, and she didn't know me, and I knew it wasn't one of her children. And she looked at me, and she said, who are you? I said, well, who are you? She said, well, I'm a caregiver. I said, well, I'm a pastor. I'm Ida Fontaine's pastor, Pastor Todd Adams. And she said, okay, hold on. So she walks in there. She comes back to the door, and she goes, oh, you can come in. And so in Dan and I walked. Now, the thing about Ida is she's all but blind. And so she says, Pastor Todd, and her thick Mississippi accent, is that you? Come here, I can't see you. And I walked over to her, and she started to touch my head and touch my face. And she goes, it is you, it is you. And she said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. And we began to talk. I said, Ida, can you see at all? And she said, you know, Pastor, I can make out shadows. She said, but I can't really see. I said, can you read your Bible? She said, oh, no, sir, I can't. She goes, but I have it in my memory. I said, that's amazing, Ida. I said, I want you to know we love you. And then she said these words. She said, you know something, Pastor? She said, I can't see. She said, but do you know something? I know God sees me, and I know He loves me. And He's the one who helps me get through all of these lonely days. And I sure am glad you came by. I looked up, and Dan and I are both crying like two little girls, man. I'm telling you. And you know what was interesting? I went there to give her some comfort. And I ended up being the one getting comforted and getting encouraged. Amen. 2 Corinthians says this, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all, say it, comfort. Who comforts us in how much of our tribulation? Tell me, church. Everybody say all. All of our tribulation. Why? Why does God do this? So that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Ladies, can I speak to you for just a moment? May I encourage you to do something? Be an encouragement to other ladies. Those of you who have gone through some seasons and have been through some stuff and have walked through some valleys and have been through some difficult days, and when you see that mother who's ready to murder her toddler, tell her it'll be okay. Let her know she's going to be all right. Be an encouragement. I'm reminded of the story of Dr. Tony Evans' daughter. Maybe you know this story where she was in the store, Priscilla Shire, and she was there, and her kids were very little, and one of them was climbing in and out of the basket. The other one had his arm out, and as she was pushing the basket, was knocking everything off the shelf as they went. The other one was doing the pee-pee dance, you know what I mean? And she said, I was just standing there so frustrated. Stuff's all over the floor, and this godly saint comes up to her, this woman, and just looks at her, and she goes, oh, honey, these are the best days of your life. And then she said, blink and you'll miss it. And Priscilla said, I started going. Ladies, your trials are never wasted. There's another woman in this church. There's another lady in this church who will benefit from the difficulties and the struggles that you have gone through. Be a blessing to them. And so embrace the changes. Remember that God sees and knows everything you're going through. And then, let me just wrap it up here this morning and give you this last thought. In the precious moments, praise God for His goodness. In the precious moments, just praise God for His goodness. One thing is true. Precious moments need to be remembered. And we have a God who needs to be praised for all of them. And in the business and busyness of life, we need to pause and remember the goodness of our great God in our life. Your life is not going to be perfect. But if you pause and if you reflect, you'll find that you actually do have a lot to praise God for. I love looking back at old photographs, don't you? The other night we're at my mom and dad's house. My brother and his wife are here, and their little guy, Ezra. And they're here and spending Mother's Day. And we went over to the house for dinner, and my mom pulled out all of these old, old pictures of when I was a baby way back in Germany. You ever look at those pictures and you think, why didn't my parents dress me like that? Can I get a witness? My boys have said the same thing. They're like, Dad, why? Why am I naked in the tub? Why? And then I went right in and took a picture of Ezra getting a bath. I'm like, look at that. It's a curse, man. I'm telling you. You can't help it. I was looking at all of these pictures, and then I went home, and Nathan said, Dad, Mom, can you help me? I have to get all of the pictures ready for the graduation service. We've got several. Every year we do a graduation service here for our teens who are graduating. Nathan is graduating and headed off to Bible college in August. If you see Angela and I wearing dark sunglasses and black armbands, you'll know why. He said, Dad, would you help me get these pictures picked out and see which ones you think? So out comes this big box of photographs, you know. And we're looking at this one, look at this one. And I pulled out some really good ones. I'm like, how about this one? He's like, Dad, really? You're not putting me up on the screen naked. That's out. We're not doing that. I said, it'd be such a blessing to people, son. And isn't it funny how a picture captures so many things? It's photograph after photograph after photograph after photograph. Angela and Nathan went to bed, and I stood up for a little bit by myself, as I often do, just to think and pray. And I just said, you know, God, you've been really good to me. I had no idea when I was just a little tyke over in Germany that this is where my life would end up. You've watched over me. You've protected me. You've provided for me. You've been too good to me. And I thought about Sunday, and I thought about our church, and I thought, it's Mother's Day, you know? And you know what I was thinking? God knew that we'd all be together on Mother's Day. Amen? And he said, I don't have a lot to praise God for today. Then thank Him for that. Thank Him that you're here. And for the blessings He's given you. And for the joy that it is to be in His church, amongst His people. I love what the book of Lamentations says. This I recall to mind. And therefore, I have hope. He says, it is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. Say this end of the verse. Ready? They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. And so can you just, in your heart this morning, can you just say, God, thank You for Your faithfulness to me. I think that we need to take a spiritual photograph. Don't you, friends? And capture the things that God has blessed us with. The goodness that even when we didn't deserve it, God was still being good to us. Amen? And in those precious moments, in those little moments that, like the video, man, it goes quick. Woo! In every season of our life, God is always faithful. In every season. It doesn't matter where you're at this morning, whatever you're dealing with, God is always, always faithful. And so moms, ladies, women, change is around the corner. But hold on to the changeless one. When your heart hurts, and it will, run to your healer. And then remember, thank God for the precious moments that He's given you. I think we live in a nation of grumblers and complainers, don't you? Wouldn't it be good if our children just heard us praising God all the time, thanking the Lord for His goodness?
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.